Thank you. The webinar has begun now, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Okay, welcome everybody to the meeting of the full council on Monday the 22nd of February. Just as always, I've got to remind you of how this meeting will be conducted. Could I remind all councillors that in accordance with the virtual meeting protocol, they should keep their microphones on mute at all times unless I've called upon them to speak on any item. Democratic Services will possibly unmute you if when you're called. Councillors will use the raised hand function to indicate that they wish to speak. I'll say your name, inviting you to speak. Once you have spoken, please put yourselves back on mute. Please bear in mind the need for professional behaviour throughout the meeting. For the duration of the meeting, councillors should avoid mouthing comments or making non-verbal gestures, including facial expressions, which may be interpreted as rude, disrespectful or offensive. I will refer you to Rule 19 on this. Councillors' Code of Conduct and the Rules of Procedure, and that refers to them. Please ensure that your cameras is on throughout the meeting and your head and shoulders are visible. Please ensure that no one, including pets, is present in the room with you. Please switch off all mobile phones, telephones and any other devices that may cause interruptions or background noise. This includes smart speakers. If a council loses their internet connection, I will propose a short adjournment for them to rejoin the meeting. However, it can only be a certain time rather than an everlasting long time. For avoidance of doubt, I will indicate at the end of debate that I can no longer see any virtual hands from the participation list, and if anyone wishes to speak, then they should indicate so. The usual rules of debate apply under Rule 16. Each councillor may speak only once for a maximum of 10 minutes during a debate or any item. The chat facility is not to be used. As always on virtual meetings, the voting will take place by name vote. Democratic Services, aka Andrea, will call out each name in alphabetical order. Each councillor should then unmute. Or it will possibly be, on this occasion, it's going to be the fact that Democratic Services will unmute you and then you will be muted again. Whichever the voting, whether you're voting against, abstaining or voting for the motion, please indicate at that time. I ask you now, I presume Reverend Robin Trotter is here, I ask you now to remain silent whilst the chaplain, Reverend Robin Trotter, leads us in prayer.
Let us pray to God, who alone makes us dwell in safety. For all who are affected by coronavirus, through illness or isolation or anxiety, that they may find relief and recovery, Lord, hear our prayer. For those who are guiding our nation at this time and shaping national and local policies, that they may make wise decisions, Lord, hear our prayer. For doctors, nurses and medical researchers, that through their skill and insights, many will be restored to health. Lord, hear our prayer. For the vulnerable and the fearful, for the gravely ill and the dying, that they may know your comfort and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. And so we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Let's sum up all our petitions to God in the words Jesus himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Grace, mercy and peace be with you all this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reverend. You are quite happy to stay if you wish, but of course I understand if you wish to leave the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Walker, your hand is up. I'd like to carry on with the meeting if you don't mind though, but just, yes.
It's please just on. Quick, thank you Mayor, for Monica, wherever she is, Councillor Sains messaged me, his link's not working, can he be sent a new one?
Okay, Democratic Services, Andrea, do you think that could happen,
yes.
Or Monica?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I've just sent one through, I just got an email from him, so just resent it to him.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Councillor Walker, for bringing that up. Okay, so we'll start the meeting. Item number one, Chief Executive, apologies for absence, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There have been no apologies for absence this evening.
Okay, thank you. Item number two, are there any declarations of interest? We've all seen the agenda, I'm sure. Okay, thank you. Item number three, to approve the minutes of the council meeting held on the 21st of December 2020. I'm going to propose that we accept the meetings. I would need a seconder, please. Okay, Councillor Allen, thank you very much. So, I think we should go to the vote on this. So, again, as always, it is going to be a named vote. Councillor Florence Dukes, I believe, is standing up. You need to unmute yourself. So, yeah, okay, Councillor Florence Dukes.
I missed the first part of the meeting. Are we on unmuted mics now?
No, you're not. The Democratic Services and I will mute you, but of course, it is right that you can stand up, obviously, if you want to make a point of order.
A point of order, then, please, under section 16.36 of the Constitution.
Okay.
Go ahead with that, Mayor.
I've got that, yeah.
Okay.
Is this to do with, can I just ask, is this to do with our email conversation?
It's to do with raising a point of order, but how can we agree the minutes to the last meeting where we agreed to readopt the council's constitution if we haven't fully adopted the council's constitution in terms of raising a point of order? By muting our mics, you're preventing members from exercising their right, their constitutional right, under section 16.36 of the Constitution. Normally what would happen is verbally we would communicate a point of order because there's some degree of urgency in that. Obviously, with having our mics muted, we're prevented from doing that. So how can we possibly agree minutes as being correct if they're not correct? That's my point of order.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you just mute yourself, please? Thank you. Okay. Your point of order, and I think we have discussed this in the emails and so on. We are going to do the D. I don't accept your point of order for a start. However, I will just carry on with the meeting. So, as I've said, could I have a seconder for the meet? I think, yes, Councillor Allen, you did. So, can I go to the vote, please? So, Andrea, can you read the names as normal, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Aykroyd.
Or
Councillor Allen.
Four.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Four.
Councillor Barker?
Four.
Councillor Beach?
Four.
Councillor Brady?
Four.
Councillor Bilf? I believe. Yeah, he might have been experiencing problems joining the meeting, so okay. I'll come back to him later. Councillor Chowdhury?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Faulkner?
Four.
Councillor Fitzpatrick?
Four.
Councillor Fletcher? Councillor Fletcher?
Four. I thought you were dealing with the muting and unmuting. I didn't realise what to do it ourselves because I've got no button to do it.
Yeah, sorry, I did. I asked you to unmute, Councillor Fletcher, sorry. Councillor Florence Dukes?
Against.
Councillor Gaskin?
Four.
Councillor Goodfellow?
Four.
Councillor Gould?
Four.
Councillor Grosvenor? Councillor Grosvenor?
Against, and just to advise, my internet connection's about to drop off, so I'll have to rejoin in about 2 seconds, if you give me a second or two.
Okay. Councillor Greg Hall?
Four.
Councillor Helen Hall?
Against.
Councillor Hudson?
Four.
Councillor Hussein?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, Andrea, I just joined in. Can you remind me about the item, please, agenda item?
Sorry, the item is the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Thank you, Andrea.
Four.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jones?
Four.
Councillor Killoran?
Four.
Councillor Lamb?
Against.
Councillor Legg?
Against.
Councillor McGarry?
Four.
Councillor McKiernan?
Against.
Councillor Metcalf?
Four.
Councillor Peters?
Four.
Councillor Raybould?
Four.
Councillor Sankey?
Four.
Councillor Shrive?
Against.
Councillor Sylvester?
Four.
Councillor Toon?
Abstain.
Councillor Walker?
Against.
Councillor Whittaker?
Four.
And Councillor Wildman?
I'm four.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That vote is carried.
Thank you very much, Andrea. Okay. We will go to item number four, which was announcements from the mayor, leader, or council proper officer. Leader, do you have any announcements? I don't believe there is any.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Item five is urgent business. I've considered that there is no urgent business, so we will move on. So item number six. Can I call for the monitoring officer's report, and the monitoring officer will present her report.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members will have had an opportunity to read my annual report. It's in its usual format, which will be familiar to all of you. I have reported that I have received five member conduct complaints since the last occasion when I reported, when I brought my annual report to you. I have to tell you that I've had two additional complaints since the report was drafted and circulated. I have an additional member conduct complaint concerning a borough councillor and another additional conduct complaint which concerns a parish councillor. You will see that there are six parish councils as yet to return their declarations of interest. This is something that Democratic Services is actively pursuing. And you will have also seen that once again this year the council has engaged in no covert surveillance. Members are asked please to note my report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Motion Officer. Can I have a proposer for this report to be noted, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Killoran. That's excellent. And a seconder, please. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Vicky Gould, thank you. Okay, as again, that report is to be noted, so there is no vote on that report. I should ask, first of all, would there any councillor like to speak on that item? I apologise for that. Okay, I can't see anyone got their hand up, so okay, we'll move on. Item number seven, the medium-term financial strategy for 2021 to 2022 and 2023 to 2024. I invite the leader of the council to present this item.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Mayor. I'm very pleased to present the council's medium-term financial strategy for the period 2021-22 to 2023-24. These are times really like no others, really in generations, with the world in turmoil and a huge level of uncertainty over what lies ahead as we recover from the fallout of the pandemic and make adjustments to our lives, and as the council looks to support our residents and businesses during the months and years ahead. Despite the incredibly difficult circumstances arising from the pandemic, the council's strategic approach to financial planning and strong underlying financial position has enabled us to respond and adapt to the challenging environment positively, and we are seeking to take a prudent and pragmatic approach to decision making in this, our most volatile and uncertain period ever. The council has continued to work hard to deliver services to residents and identify new ways of working to ensure value for money for our residents, but most importantly, to protect our frontline services that our residents rely on. I'm extremely proud of the work all our teams have done this year, and I extend my heartfelt thanks to them. In this period of unprecedented dual uncertainty surrounding the pandemic and future government finance reforms, it would be wrong to jump to short-term decisions that would inevitably negatively impact our residents. So, despite significant uncertainty over future central government funding levels and the ongoing impact of the pandemic, our proactive approach and the prudent use of windfall and reserve resources has given us the capacity to set a balanced budget over the three-year period. I'm therefore pleased to set out a prudent strategy which, through the effective management of resources, forms a robust basis for managing the council's finances and meeting its objectives over the period as we assess the impact of the pandemic and future funding reforms. The announcement of the provisional local government settlement for 2021-22 was made in December 2020 and confirmed more recently following a vote in Parliament a couple of weeks ago. Members will not need reminding that this follows a lengthy period of central funding reductions to local authorities, in our case, seeing a reduction in settlement funding of 78% or £6.4 million on a like-for-like basis between 2010 and 2019, However, I would like to take this opportunity to thank my colleagues in central government for taking decisive action over this past year and also into next year through the budget process in providing support to all areas of local government and particularly our council, as we expect to benefit from a figure of around £2.6 million in the current year. Despite a significant impact on our finances in this financial year, we are currently forecasting to have those losses covered by the additional support that we have received from government and to deliver on the budget that we set last year. The government settlement, which passed 2 weeks ago, contained a £2.2 billion increase in core funding to local government, a further £1.55 billion to help councils with their COVID response, a £622 million extension to the new homes bonus funding, and a new lower tier services grant of £111 million to help local authorities such as ours. It is encouraging that this bill was passed in the House of Commons without any opposition from main political parties. Members will be aware that large-scale reforms were due to be made to local government funding. However, the impact of the pandemic means that they have been, unsurprisingly, deferred. The settlement therefore resulted in a small inflationary increase of £38,000 in relation to our business rates compensation. As I've said, the new homes bonus funding was announced alongside the settlement with the council's allocation for 21-22 of £1.4 million, reflecting a reduction of £1 million on the allocation for the current year, but extending the current scheme for a further year, but without legacy payments. The government have also announced a consultation on the future shape of the new homes bonus scheme, and we will be feeding into that consultation shortly. Due to the reduction in the new homes bonus, the government's minimum funding floor has kicked in for us to ensure that our core spending power would not be reduced compared to this current year. So, as a result, due to that funding floor, the settlement resulted in an overall freeze in our core spending power, taking into account the government's expectation of additional council tax income. The average increase in core spending across all English authorities is 4.5%, and that is rightly weighted, giving additional funding for adult social care so that our colleagues at Staffordshire County Council can better deliver their services to our local residents. Our most recent budget consultation demonstrated people wanted to ensure local services are protected, even if that meant an increase in council tax and charges for services. Set against a backdrop of no increase in our proportion of the council tax between 2010 and 2018, and the fact that our proportion of the council tax is below the national average, this strategy assumes that the Band D council tax charge will increase by £5. That's the equivalent of 50 pence over 10 monthly instalments from 21-22 to help protect our services and the financial future of the council. As you will see in the report to come, our proportion of the council tax for an average Band D property is, excluding special expenses, proposed to increase from £177.30 to £182.30 for the year. So, to look at that another way, for £18.23 a month over the 10 months where we offer our residents instalments, we will collect their bins, we will clean the streets, collect fly tipping, run cemeteries, maintain our parks, plant our award-winning flower beds, run public toilets, run civil enforcement, fund community projects, run elections, deliver on enterprise and regeneration projects, administer a planning and building control service, ensure housing standards are high, deliver disabled facilities grants, ensure food safety in local businesses through environmental health, license taxi drivers, license premises, deliver on the climate change action plan, deliver on housing options and tackle homelessness and rough sleeping, deliver a fantastic leisure provision with everyone active, operate CCTV, operate the market hall, the brew house, the civic function suite, and deliver housing benefit support and administer the wide range of support from the government to local businesses. I've probably missed plenty of other activities, but for all that, our average ask of the council taxpayer is £18 a month. So whilst I'm confident that the extra 50p we're asking residents to pay a month is good value, We will undertake a further budget consultation during the course of this year to ensure that views of our residents and businesses feed into our future plans as post-pandemic finances become clearer, and we need to plan accordingly for the future financial challenges ahead. Turning to those challenges, members will see that the strategy identifies a number of risks and uncertainties, which are outlined within section 12 of the report. The most significant of these relates to planned local authority funding reforms and a high degree of uncertainty surrounding the ongoing impact of COVID-19. All of the risks identified have been carefully considered, and a prudent approach has been taken in preparing this strategy. The report before you proposes a three-year balanced MTFS, and this is taking into account a cautious approach to central funding expectations beyond 21-22, ongoing pressures arising from COVID-19, as well as some significant service pressures, such as the considerable estimated increase in supported housing costs, reduced investment income due to bank rate changes and a negative outlook as we move forward, additional costs arising from our investment in a new fleet of vehicles, and additional resources to support our regeneration and climate change priorities. The report also highlights where savings or additional income or funding levels have been identified, enabling a balanced budget to be set. These are as follows. Various packages of funding from central government to support COVID-19 financial pressures, windfall business rates growth, reduced debt costs from utilisation of windfall resources, as well as procurement and staffing savings. While some one-off resources have been utilised to support the budget, based on what we know now, this does indicate that further ongoing savings will need to be identified into the future and will form part of our future budget and policy work. Nevertheless, the authority has an excellent track record for delivering savings, as shown in section 8.5 of the covering report before you. I'm confident that once the future funding position becomes clearer, that we will be well placed to deliver future savings in order to maintain the financial sustainability of the council in the medium to long term. One of the positive outcomes of this pandemic is a massively strengthened relationship that we have with councils up and down the country. We've never had, for example, a better relationship than the one we have with our county colleagues, and I'm in regular touch with council leaders from all across the country who find themselves in a very similar budgetary position. Those members who are also county council members will know that despite additional government support, the county are also taking a balanced position, citing a high level of uncertainty with a prudent use of reserves. The strategy also sets out a varied programme of capital activities. This year, the council has set aside resources for the replacement of our fleet of waste and street cleaning vehicles and will be investing for the first time in some smaller electric vehicles with associated charging point infrastructure in line with the council's climate action plan. And these will step up as we look to make progress against our targets. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Councillor Bernard Peters for his relentless pursuit of this strategy in all aspects of council decision making. Replacement ICT equipment has also been included in the capital programme, along with continuation of plans to extend the cemetery at Staple. Our commitment to the Washlands Enhancement Scheme is ongoing, with much of the work now intending to be completed in this financial year. Proposals have also been submitted for up to £25 million of funding for regeneration in Burton as part of the Stronger Towns Fund Government Initiative, where we are currently awaiting their feedback, although £750,000 worth of accelerated funding works are already in progress on the High Street. In addition, over the course of the year, we will seek to develop and bring forward plans and business cases to support regeneration in Uttoxeter after a period of further consultation, which we announced this morning, is complete. No further action will be taken until this consultation exercise is concluded. Members of the Council will be aware that the authority once again received a very positive report from the external auditors in relation to our financial performance and value for money. And I believe that despite the continued uncertainty surrounding the impact of COVID-19 and central funding reforms, this strategy enables this position to be maintained. With this in mind, The MGFS report includes a positive statement from the Chief Financial Officer on the robustness of the budgets and the appropriate use and level of our reserves. In conclusion, overall, I believe that this is a sound and prudent budget which recognises the Council's priorities and objectives. Despite significant uncertainty over future funding levels and the impact of the pandemic, the authority has been able to respond to the challenge positively, producing a balanced budget which is both prudent and provides protection for frontline services in line with our residents' priorities. I would like to formally record my thanks to all those associated with it. This is a significant team effort from across the Council in preparing this budget, but I would like to particularly single out the tremendously hard work of Lisa Turner and her team, and I extend my thanks to them. Finally, Mr. Mayor, I move that the recommendation as set out in paragraph 20.1 be approved.
Thank you, Leader. So we need a seconder for this, please. Councillor Barker, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may just say.
You can.
I'd like to thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank and congratulate the Leader and the officers, the Cabinet and the Cabinet support members for producing this strategy during these very difficult times. Not taking the easy option, like removing free after three or charging for green waste, but using reserves and leaving the money in the pockets of the residents of East Staffordshire to fuel the recovery. So I'd like to commend this budget to you and second its approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barker. So we'll go to the normal rules of debate. I can see Councillor Peters, so we're going to now obviously go to the debate. So Councillor Peters, would you wish to comment on this, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to build on everything that the Leader said in his absolutely outstanding report, we have achieved a balanced budget during this period of the pandemic. And I want to make it clear to everyone that we've done this and we have protected our frontline services. And that is what the residents want, and that is what the residents expect. And our focus will always be on supporting the community of East Staffordshire. They know that they can rely on a Conservative-controlled local authority to strategically plan and consistently deliver. And that delivery will be under the excellent leadership of Councillor Goodfellow, who I'd like to pay credit to for his outstanding leadership skills during this period of uncertainty. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Peters. Is there anyone else would like to comment on this item? Councillor Fletcher. Councillor Fletcher, can you
unmute? Thank you, I've got it now. I have some difficulty supporting this motion, Mr. Mayor. I listened very carefully to Councillor Goodfellow, and his reference particularly to the statement issued today on the UToxeter Master Plan. But I note that Councillor Allen stated further consultation on those areas which most residents are concerned about will take place. Now, as there is considerable concern, as far as I can see, from members, people in UToxeter, that the consultation was inadequate, it seems to me that it's rather difficult to accept that Councillor Allen can come to any conclusion about the opinion of most residents.
Can I just... Councillor Fletcher, are we talking here, you know, regarding the Leader's strategy here?
We are, yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you carry on.
We're talking about the MTFS, yes. You know, and I'm explaining why I'm having difficulty voting for it. There obviously clearly needs to be full consultation on the use tax of the Master Plan, and as long as the item in the MTFS relating to the Master Plan is inappropriate, I can't support it, so I shall be abstaining from this.
Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. Councillor Grosvenor, can we just remind ourselves to keep on with, you know, the actual strategy, the financial strategy. You know, Councillor Grosvenor, anyway,
yes,
carry on.
I was.
Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Councillor Fletcher? Sorry, Councillor Grosvenor.
Just on your last point, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, the leader referenced detox of the master plan in his speech, and I think that's why Councillor Fletcher referenced it in his response.
Fine.
I won't be supporting this tonight. I think the budget's a reflection on the poor management of the council by the leader and the cabinet. There's been no decisions taken on the cost base of this council the last 2 years. The council's been allowed to drift. And the use of reserves, burning through £11 million worth of reserves over 4 years, is very much a short-term fix. I'm not sure that Councillor Goodfellow has read in the same report as me when he says it's been a positive recommendation by the Chief Financial Officer. If you look at section 16.4 of the report, she actually highlights the fact that reserves shouldn't be used for one-off amounts, and they're being used to support a revenue budget over 3 years and burning through them at a rate that will leave us with nothing. It's very much short-termism, very much short-termism. You've not looked at restructuring some of the cost base. You've not brought any reports on, for example, waste collection, which was in the manifesto, the Conservative manifesto 2 years ago. And I know it was in the manifesto because we put it there. No reports have come forward on that. You've not looked at any non-statutory services to see if there can be a restructuring of those. And you've not looked at any income generating ways of supporting the budget. For example, you could look at an idea which says the Open Spaces team could offer a garden collection service, whereby we go and charge older residents for effectively helping them with their garden and taking away the waste. We all know that residents need some garden help. Sometimes they have to rely on external sources to do it, and sometimes those sources aren't very appropriate or very good for those residents. They overcharge and underdeliver. And I think a service that the council could offer would help them with that. You mentioned some of the cost savings. Well, they're not cost savings implemented by you or the cabinet or anybody else in this controlling group. And the fact that you've drifted, not made any decisions, burning through the reserves, gives a problem for the council in the short to medium term financial management. And I'm afraid it's very, very appalling the way you've managed it. You say that we've achieved the budget this year. We have, based on the fact that the government have given us funding to cover up for where we've had shortfalls. And we've got government funding of £1.5 million next year. You've still got £1 million black hole in the budget where you've sourced that through reserves. You're going to borrow another £4 million to replace the fleet. And you've not looked or identified any savings that could come forward in waste management that we specifically looked at in the budget. You've not looked at whether the mayoralty could be restructured. You've mentioned all the services we've delivered and we continue to deliver. You've not mentioned the fact that a lot of those are income generating services, and that's why, you know, the £18 a month is relevant. You've not looked at increasing the income relation of those services at all. You've not looked at planning policy, where that can be outsourced. And as regards to the point that Councillor Fletcher made with regards to UTOPS and the master plan, I have to agree to him. Councillor Allen suggested last year that he wanted to rush through the master plan in September because he thought there'd be some budget items in the budget for this year reflecting the master plan. There's no budget items in there. There's just a spurious paragraph to say that you'll bring them forward after some more consultation based on your press release that was rushed out today on the back of my motion, which obviously sets some hairs running, and ignores the fact that the residents in Utoxeter do not want the current master plan. Even Councillor Allen himself seemed to be confused with the responses that were given in the consultation document last Thursday when he said that most residents wanted residential development. Nobody in the responses to the priority area in the master plan, there was 86 responses on the question, what is your priority area? Nobody said build more houses. In fact, a large number of residents said don't build any more houses. So I think Councillor Allen needs to reflect an apology for his misinformation in his speech last Thursday that the interview he gave. So in summary, I won't be voting for this tonight. You're burning through reserves, you're still increasing council tax, you've identified no savings, you're drifting as a council. You've brought nothing forward in 2 years, nothing new, nothing different, not looked at any cost base of any of the services the council delivers. You've not looked at any of the non-statutory services, and quite appallingly, you've not even delivered a manifesto commitment that was in there to look at the waste collection services, because the waste collection services was one of the only services that was in this council that basically was in the top quartile for costs, or bottom quartile for costs, however you look at it. You reflect that the council's got an excellent track record of making savings. It has up until 2 years ago when that stopped and the council was allowed to drift. I'm afraid I've got no confidence in your leadership. I've got no confidence in the cabinet. And that's reflected in this appalling budget which you've put before us tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My God, what was that? Sort of history of the previous administration coming forward to haunt us. I think a lot of what Councillor Grosvenor has said, he didn't actually deliver himself. But he does raise some interesting points that I do agree with. He certainly does. This budget, I mean, I've read it in depth a few times, and there are parts of it that I can agree with. There is a prudent approach to income levels and council collection rates. The removal of the business rates growth element out of the base budget is a very cautious move. There's some contingency planning in there that I think's right, and a modest increase in council tax, which I welcome because we argued for it for the last 2 years. This council previously under Councillor Grosvenor's administration, freezing council tax has actually cost us more jobs within the establishment, and has meant that we've had to cut services, priority service. We need to protect that. I've got to say, though, going on to the Utoxeter issue, that the Labour group has been strongly canvassed from our colleagues in Utoxeter to support them in challenging and imposing the master plan that's been adopted. Now, I welcome the press release that came out this morning. I do welcome it, and I know colleagues in Utoxeter welcome it. But that said, within the MTFS report and within the budget book, in each of them there are two references to the adopted Utoxeter master plan. Now, I requested today that they be deleted, taken out, and that request was denied. Now, that sends alarm bells to me. And so for that reason, I will not be supporting this budget. In fact, I'll be opposing it. And I urge my group to do the same. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor Florence Jukes, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to echo a lot of what's been said by both Councillor Fitzpatrick and Councillor Grosvenor. Particularly, I want to draw attention to the very first opening comment by the leader, which says he looks to support residents in these challenging times. I would question why then is he raising council tax for bandee people in particular that are going to be the hardest hit by this. A major concern to me as well is that the CCF fund has not been reinstated to its £39,000. There's no better way to help residents in these challenging times than through community projects. So I would ask, why has that not been reinstated to its former £39,000? And also, is there any provision in this budget for emergency COVID payments that we saw in the last CCF applications? Because clearly there's going to be hard-hit community groups within the borough that are going to need that additional help due to COVID. So I'm really disappointed that he's not made any provision at all for that. I don't need to say that I've on many occasions attacked the former leader, Councillor Grosvenor, for his budget, but I've got to say this one takes a biscuit. I think it's absolutely deplorable. And what scares me more than anything is that £11 million of our reserves are being used to basically prop up this authority. And that is a really dangerous point to be in. I would like to mention some points that Councillor Grosvenor mentioned, and that is in the report, section 15.2, where it says that it's increasingly important that the council holds a suitable level of reserves to support sustainability. I argue that taking £11 million out of those reserves is not supporting or helping with sustainability. It also mentions at 16.4, reserves should not generally be used to support ongoing revenue expenditure. Well, it's being used for exactly that. And it further states at 19.2 that that the report also highlights that savings will need to be delivered in the medium term in order to reduce the reliance on one-off reserves. So clearly there's three red flags there that nobody, that's not been addressed by the council leader. I did offer my support to the leader when this pandemic started and said that, look, you know, putting all party politics aside, we need to collectively, as 37 councillors as we are now, tackle as best we can this pandemic on a joint approach. I offered him my help. He's not taken that help, which is fine, that's his prerogative. But I also said to him that any leader can steer a ship in calm waters. There's no challenge to that at all. Where the challenge comes is when those waters start to get choppy, and they're positively gale force at the moment. And I'd go one step further than say from Councillor Grosvenor how he's saying this council is drifting. I think this leader has led it to a point where it's hit a metaphorical iceberg and it's sinking fast. And he's taking £11 million of reserves with him. In point of identifying easy saves that can be made, I would like to propose an amendment to the MTFS, and that is on page 64 of the booklet, civic ceremonies. For the life of me, I can't see why we are still supporting mayoral roles that are costing this authority over £50,000, closer to £60,000, for essentially what is a jolly. That's all it is. It's a civic role. It's not a statutory role. We've got mayors that are chauffeur-driven around, going to civic events, being wined and dined on taxpayers' money. They get a clothing allowance to boot for 2 years. The current mayor's had it for 3 years. I would question why in May of last year was the deputy mayor not elected as the mayor. Could it be, perhaps, that there was no civic events to go to because of lockdown? So that's an easy save. So I'm proposing that as part of an amendment to this MTFS, that we take out the allowance for the civic ceremonies, that we do away with it. We don't need it. It's an easy saving. And as has been identified by all the councillors that spoke, we need to put residents first. Well, this will be putting residents first. Roughly 1% increase in our tax bands equals what we're paying for the mayor. So it's an easy save. That's what I've got to say on the match at the moment, other than this is the most disastrous budget I've ever read. And I've got to say that comments being made in the very early stages by Councillor Peters and Councillor Barker are nothing more than an election speech and quite clearly shouldn't be allowed. That's all. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Before we do carry on, I've got a lot of people with hands up, so I'm going to ask for Councillor Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just apologies, because I will mention the Toxteth Master Plan. If you didn't notice, it is in the budget.
I did notice.
It's in twice, and it does talk to a commitment to the Toxteth Master Plan. And I don't know whether you can recall, I voted against it at the last meeting, and that's why I'll be opposing this budget because of that. That is one of the reasons I will be opposing it, because of that commitment to the Toxteth Master Plan, and it flies in the face of the opinion of the good people of Toxteth. When you read through the document, you begin to see a picture that flies in the face of our Conservatives always used to brag about financial competence when managing this council's finances. Delving into reserves, black holes in spending, all add up to a document that does nothing to support the working people in this area. But the two major economic shocks affecting the area are somehow stitched together with a blinkered view of positivity. Business suffering the effects of Brexit, bureaucracy causing delays in trade, but then we come to COVID. Coronavirus has ripped through the heart of Shobnal, within yards of the town hall. Families from the Bain community have suffered immense heartache living in poverty, creating increased risk. My constituents tell me they feel abandoned. The ESB enforcement are not doing enough to engage with people who do not speak English. And do you know what? They are probably right. This budget pays lip service to the economic impact of COVID and fails to acknowledge that the true effect will only be felt after the support measures have been lifted. Already, we've seen a loss of 80 jobs at Pirelli, and it's one of the few employers in Burton that pays over £10.50 an hour. Trade union officers tell me they fear there are more jobs to come across the town and across the area. This budget appears blinkered to the fact that we have over 3,500 children living in absolute poverty. And as the House of Commons Library shows us, the worst affected areas are in Burton, the same areas the controlling group chooses to ignore. Then on top of that, we have a budget that commits to staffing positions taken out and one that contains the laughable terminology of trying to run the same standard of service at reduced costs. Have they really not learnt that cuts only compromise the standard of service, drive down wages and compromise safety? We've already heard from the leader that future savings are to be made, so I can't possibly support another austerity budget when we're still continuing with vanity projects like the Washlands.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. I've got Councillor Clark on. Sorry, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think there's a strong case tonight where certain councillors would like to have their cake and also eat it in regards to not cutting services whilst also not raising costs, whilst also trying to balance the budget. I think nobody will deny that we're living in unprecedented times. The ongoing COVID pandemic will undoubtedly leave lasting scars economically, socially and mentally. The ongoing threat of climate change is making us have to reassess our entire ways of living, from waste recycling, electric charging points, down to our day-to-day lives. And the continued rise of online shopping, remote working and the digital age is forever changing the face of our local high streets. And not just that, but the very nature in which we engage with our local spaces and community hubs. Against this backdrop of uncertainty, I think it's a credit to the ongoing financial management of the council that we're presented with an MTFS tonight that not only protects frontline services, but balances the budget and sits alongside a capital programme that is directly investing into East Staffordshire. The revamping of the Station Street that was recently completed, the revitalisation of the Washlands, investments in electric vehicles and the ambitious plans to improve our town centres all sit alongside this pandemic and the uncertainty that it brings that will only seek to benefit the lives of all East Staffordshire residents. I think we're under no illusions that over the coming months and years, more will need to be done to continue to balance the council's budget in a sustainable and financially sound way. But if reserves aren't there to be used during a global pandemic, when are they there to be used for? We can all hoard away money and sit on mountains of cash, but at a time of uncertainty, the MTFS presented tonight not only protects frontline services, but directly seeks to address these challenges. Yes, more can be done, and I think we're under no illusions that more will need to be done. Some of the things brought up tonight, like the assessment into the mayoral budget and the waste management, are both areas that are under review by our relevant scrutiny committees, and I'm under no doubt that the capable councillors here from across the parties will come forward with sensible and robust solutions to address these. Based on all of this, and I know the concerns with the Utoxeter Master Plan that sits alongside this by some of our fellow councillors, I would urge everybody here to vote in favour of this. I feel that failing to do so not only fails to protect those services, but does so in a time of great uncertainty. This is an MTFS that delivers on that strategy. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Gregory, you've already commented on this. So, Councillor Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, what can we expect else from the opposition? Every year that I've been a councillor, the six budgets that I've sat through, and this one is no different. We yet again see for the opposition, whether it's Labour councillors or independent councillors, decrying and criticising the only budget that has been put before the council. Where is the where is the alternative? What would the opposition have us do? Reject it and have no budget at all? We look across Staffordshire and there's only one Conservative group in opposition, and that Conservative group is in Cannock, and that group provides alternatives that the council can consider. There's no point coming to the council on the day that we're deciding whether to support the budget or not, and then saying, well, I don't like this, but I don't like that bit. Members have had plenty of opportunity to work with the administration to inject their ideas, and they haven't done it. My shadow hasn't impacted the budget at all. There's been no, despite having opportunity to do so, she hasn't come forward with any ideas at all. And so I cannot agree at all. I find it offensive, frankly, that opposition members think that they can come to the chamber and criticise the only budget that's on the table. They are not doing the residents any service at all. But I would like to thank Councillor Grosvenor for the budget. I think it's a fantastic budget. Climate change and regeneration are at the top. And despite the criticisms about about the Doxter Master Plan, and then now after announcement of saying that we are going to consult further on it, now there's criticism that we're consulting further on it, which is absolutely bizarre to me. All I hear from Burton councillors, let's be honest, is rejecting any regeneration in New Toxeter. That's what I can hear, because I can't hear anybody in New Toxeter, or at least the north end of the borough, saying that we don't support the master plan. Removing it from the budget at all, that's removing it from any possibility that there'll be any regeneration at all. We're consulting further, and when that consultation's finished, we will start moving forward with it, but not until residents have had their say, as they have written to me and said so. But the salient point of this, I'm very happy to support it, of course I am, Mr. Mayor, the salient point of all of this is, opposition members are smirking and they're laughing, but they haven't got an alternative. They failed to bring an alternative. Councillor Florence Jukes have bought £50,000 alternative. How is that on a £14 million budget? Is that going to make a massive difference? Of course it's not. And really, I'm questioning whether or not residents in East Staffordshire don't support them having the mayor and the fantastic service that they provide in advertising East Staffordshire to the wider area. Really? There's no alternative to this budget, Mr. Mayor, so I have to support it. But I gladly support it because it puts climate change and regeneration at the top of the agenda. Councillor Paul Walker made comments around that this administration doesn't care about the inner Burton ward. Why does this administration not care about this inner Burton ward when it's put in the vast majority of the £25 million opportunity that the government's give us into those wards for regeneration purposes? And in the next few weeks, I'm absolutely confident that it will be successful to overturn another mistruth propagated by another independent councillor. Very happy to support this, Mr. Mayor. It supports climate change agenda, as Councillor Peters has put up at the top, and regeneration, which is what residents want. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What an interesting backing to the budget from Councillor Allen. Well, look, I think we are suffering from this austerity drive all the way back from since 2011. Year on year, we've had cuts and more cuts and more cuts. And it's all very well, Councillor Grosvenor saying that, you know, how he's criticizing this budget. We were saying the same thing when he was in control, and there was cuts, more savage cuts, more and more cuts. The council was, under his leadership, was at breaking point. We know it, we see it, we feel it. There's hardly, there's the services on paper, but we don't really, residents don't feel that there is, these services are on the ground. Obviously, we reached the breaking point because of the central government cuts, and there is no money in the kitty, basically. The COVID-19, you're saying a lot about COVID-19, but, you know, what has been the impact on this council last year? Yes, there may have been some reduction in the income, but it's a public authority. The revenues are generated through the council tax and the grants. The money that the council has paid out to the residents and in the form of grants is the money which has come down from central government. It's not the money that ESBC has actually funded. So I'm a bit skeptical of using COVID-19 impact so far and going forward, other than some reduction in the income stream in some areas. But look, the interesting thing is for me is in paragraph 19.3, it says that MTFS identifies ongoing savings and uncertainties. And we know what the savings means, more cuts. It then goes on to say that we need to find these savings in line with the efficiency plan in paragraph 8.5. When we go to 8.5, all we see is a graph. And that shows how the budget has been cut over the last decade. But what's the plan? As it refers to in 8.5, the plan is the council has a successful track record of delivering savings. So this is the future plan. However, the opportunities for future cost reductions are limited. That is the plan going forward. This is what we're saying. That this is what we'll do in the coming year. Councillor Allen, this is the point. The current administration is clueless. Absolutely clueless. There is no plan. And I think, you know, you cannot simply say, you know, where's the alternative? This is the plan. You are in charge. You are in control. It's your responsibility. And I'm sorry, you know, this is we are in a real, real dire situation. Going forward, there is no hope. Unfortunately, there is no hope. We are at a breaking point. We are broke. In fact, we are broke. We see this, residents experience that on the streets, day in, day out. As for Utoxeter master plan, I cannot believe, and I feel that the information, we probably didn't have the full information when this matter came to debate in the last council meeting. But we've actually developed a plan, and we allowed 12 days for consultation. Unbelievable. We've got Utoxeter Town Council. Apparently, they couldn't even they weren't consulted, and they couldn't access the consultation document. And then there was a problem on the website; they could not access the documents. Why is our website not working properly? Who is responsible for this information to the council? We have press releases going out. Why aren't all councillors copied into the press releases? The press and the whole world can get it, but the councillors of this authority can't have that information. That is simply unacceptable. It's embarrassing that you don't know that the people outside the authority get the information before the elected members of this authority. I'm sorry, I am not able to support this budget because it lacks vision, it lacks credibility, it lacks plan, and it's utter shambles. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chowdhury. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to refer back to the statements made by Councillor Grosvenor and Councillor Fitzpatrick, in as much that they can't support a budget that, unfortunately, as has been pointed out, Councillor Grosvenor has identified rather spurious items that could actually be looked at that he never actually looked at whilst he was responsible for running the authority. He claims that we didn't do anything last year. Well, we were running with a budget that was set by him before he was ousted. So it was very difficult for us to actually do anything. This is the first budget that we have set, and it's against a backdrop of Brexit and a pandemic that has this country and the whole world has never experienced since 1922 with regard to the Spanish flu. So it's unprecedented, and government funding has not been identified in further income streams beyond this year. So the only thing we can do to balance the budget whilst we're waiting for the government to actually identify how it's going to fund local authorities is in exactly the same way as local authorities up and down the country are doing, by using reserves that are there for such as the problems we're finding ourselves today. And as Councillor Clark said, it's okay trying to have your cake and eat it by saying we are actually got the money there, but we're not going to use it. Yes, we are going to use it. We are protecting our resident services, and we are looking at lots of different issues and lots of different problems where we may actually be able to deliver services such as digital approach and efficiencies. If you look at the budget carefully, you will see there have been people actually added to the budget where people are not reductions in terms of people costs. So I refute what Councillor Walker is actually saying. In all, this budget is a well-balanced budget. It is actually going to deliver what the residents of East Staffordshire have been demanding from us. We're actually going back to times when we listen to our residents and we actually deliver what they demand and what they ask. If you heard properly, our leader has actually said that we are doing consultation with our residents, as we did last year, to understand what they're looking for, and we're delivering that. So to say there is no plan there is absolutely balderdash. And as Councillor Allen said, our opposition have not come forward with any suggestions or any idea on a plan. All they can do is sit and criticise something when they have no responsibility for delivering it. And as for Councillor Florence Jukes identifying the mayoral savings, that's already being put into scrutiny. And if Councillor Grosvenor had listened to his backbenchers 2 years ago, that would have been done last year, not this year. So, unfortunately, Councillor Grosvenor did not listen to his backbenchers, whereas this administration does. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. As I say, Councillor Grosvenor, you've already commented on this motion. So, if there is no one else going to comment on the motion, Councillor McGarry, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to raise a couple of points of clarity, if I may. With regard to the Uttoxeter Master Plan, as it's been heavily debated this evening, as Mayor of Uttoxeter, this item has been debated in Council during four occasions, where we actually called a special general meeting when consultation came to us from Cushman and Wakefield, and it was debated on at great level, and all members had an opportunity to put forward their ideas for that consultation. And like I say, it's been debated a further three times since then. In terms of Councillor Florence Jukes, when she mentions the CCF funding, there was no one, you know, more upset than I that was reduced. However, we have worked with the funding and the budget that's been put in place. And I would like to say that Uttoxeter residents and Uttoxeter community projects have gained heavily because myself and the three other Uttoxeter borough councillors are constantly looking for projects to make sure they get the funding they need for their community projects. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor McGarry. Councillor Grimmie, did you actually stand up there?
I did, Mr. Mayor. There's been a suggestion of an amendment made by Councillor Forrest Dukes, and I wanted to second that amendment.
You may second it, but unfortunately, I don't allow this because I haven't seen it in writing, as you well know. So, therefore, I will reject that. I'm going to go to the vote. We've debated
Mr. Mayor,
this item. Councillor Hussain, do not interrupt. That is what this is an issue. Thank you. We're going to go to the vote on this.
No, Mr. Mayor, I've been raising my hands for a long, long time, but you are not giving me the floor.
Apologies, I can't see you on my screen.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Are you going to comment? Would you wish to comment on this item?
If you only allow me, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I will.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, can you just... Yes, thank you.
Is it better now, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
First of all, foremost, Mr. Mayor, I have no intention to interrupt you. Just I put my hands up to carry on. And sorry, you didn't see me.
But, thank you. Apologies.
I'm sure the whole House will join me and also pay their condolences to one of our employees, Mr. Mahbub Yusuf, who sadly passed away. And I would like to remember his good work before I start to make any comments in MTFS in this council meeting. Having said that, I would like to see in all former CCF funding issues, which has a direct impact to the we can, as a councillor, can make a difference to the community. That means in so many occasions, our £1 investment sometimes it comes out with £4 or £5 on top of this. I would be grateful if the council can look into the matter, but I'm a bit frustrated that it is not seen possibly in the future they can look into it. And about the £18 issue, the leader said, but it's not just £18 the residents are paying and getting the service. For example, Mr. Mayor, if the taxi drivers, they need to get the license, they got to pay the license fee. If somebody wants to do the public toilet, they need to pay the fees. And if somebody needs to use the cemetery, they need to pay the appropriate fees as well. So in his statement saying this, by paying the £18, the residents are getting those services. It is, I would say, somehow he can amend it in this situation. And I am a bit concerned about Councillor George Allen's comments on three words he used, which I find is totally not acceptable in our local democracy. What's going on in Westminster and national politics and how they debate, which is not my business. But when he says, we are here in this council, no point. We are here, there is a point, because we got elected by our voters. That's why we are here for. And he said, we are not doing any service. Does he not realize day in, day out, how concerned we are and how we are helping with those charities to help out and get our residents and to, give them help through those food banks and other issues as well. And then come to the value for money, he was saying. But my frustration is coming is that people, local residents got to pay more tax, council tax in their county budget, county council tax. Then they got to pay more police levy. And on top, they got to pay East of Sherborough Council. And at the time, despite they got extra pressure on their finances as well. So this is for those reasons, I cannot support this more MTFS. And Mr. Mayor, having said that, and using those words, and I find it nothing short of arrogance, actually. No point, quote-unquote, no service, and mistruth, and asking another councillor. If he has a concern about the mistruth, I would urge him to go through the standard procedure and prove himself
otherwise he should expunge his word. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hussein. Councillor Fryes-Jukes, you stood up again, so I suggest you're going to raise a point of order.
I am, Mayor, thank you. Yeah, onto section, where are we? Section 16.18 of the Constitution, amendments to motions. How, Mayor, am I expected to submit a written amendment to a motion when I'm in a remote meeting? I want an amendment to that. I want to submit an amendment to that motion. Please tell me practically how I do it when I'm sat here in a remote meeting, other than verbally.
You do have, I'm sure, the rules are you must email me as a mayor. You must do that. You know this. You know the rules, and I don't accept that you can't do it. You know. So we're going to Duncan. Leader of the council. You do have a right to reply on anything that's going on. Okay, Councillor Chairman. Councillor Goodfellow, I'm not going to take they're standing up. I know they're standing up. That's fine. Councillor, the leader of the council, can you, you have the right to speak on this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know where to start, but thank you thank you to members for their contributions and indeed their opinions, both positive and negative of me. Feedback is a gift, as somebody once told me. So I shall take those comments on board. I think I just would like to pick up on two or three points which I believe are probably key. In relation to members not supporting the budget because of reference to the Utoxa Master Plan within the MTFS report, that is in there to signal our support for regeneration in Utoxeter. And therefore, if people are not going to vote for it on that basis, then clearly they don't support regeneration in Utoxeter. So we haven't allocated specifically for Utoxeter, but we've allocated some money in terms of the business rates windfall to capital to support capital projects across East Staffordshire. So we would expect regeneration support to be delivered both in Utoxeter and in Burton as we move forward following the consultation exercise. The other couple of points I think I probably would raise since quite a few people mentioned them, and that is the use of reserves. And I think Councillor Clark probably hit the nail on the head. If a global pandemic is not the time to make use of reserves, then I really don't know what is. You save for a rainy day. What's this if it's not a rainy day? I would just remind members of the council's reserve position. So if you have a flick back through the report and accounts of this authority for the same period that I've referenced earlier in my statement, so between 2010 and 2019, where we had a funding reduction of 78%. During that time, our earmarked reserves in 2010 were £7.5 million. Our earmarked reserves now are £15.6 million. £15.6 million. So over a period of funding cuts, the council did make provision, and it has increased its reserve position by 108% at the same time as those funding cuts were dealt with and services were changed. So the council has built up a reserve position, and I would say again, what are reserves for if not a situation like this. The government have come to the party in terms of additional support for our budget going forward, and I think it would be completely wrong of this authority to simply disregard the fact that we've got that level of reserves and not seek to use them and seek to put additional pressure on our taxpayers or to rush to cut services. And there was a mention on a couple of occasions, I think from Councillor Grosvenor and Councillor Walker, of a £1 million black hole. I'm not sure whether he's read the report in detail, but actually what the report outlines is a very volatile and uncertain situation, and I haven't counted up the number of times I use that in my statement, but I suspect if I did say it would be quite a few, but perhaps people weren't really listening to what I had to say. What that volatile position presents, and as the report presents, is a scenario whereby the budget is likely to either result in a small surplus, or further losses or a further requirement for funding of £1.7 million. So actually what the council is doing and has done has taken a prudent and sensible midpoint position in a period of total uncertainty. In terms of the COVID pandemic, there is obviously a great deal of uncertainty, and as I referenced many times, there is central government funding reform which is due to take place. So in terms of what our budget position may look like this time next year, it may well be very different. So I believe we are adopting a sensible and prudent approach, and we're not rushing to slash services or impose additional charges as may have happened in the past. And I would point again to the section in the report where the Chief Finance Officer, the responsible officer, is of the view that the budget provides a robust basis for managing the council's finances in the years 2021 to 23-24. So I would just conclude with the same conclusion that I made earlier, and that is I believe this is a sound and prudent budget which recognises the council's priorities and objectives. Despite significant uncertainty over future funding levels and the impact of the pandemic, we have been able to respond to the challenge positively, producing a balanced budget which is both prudent and provides protection for frontline services in line with our residents' priorities. So with that, I would encourage all members to support the MTFS.
Okay, thank you very, very much, Leader. I would like now, if you could, to go to the vote. And I've got 1, 2, 3 councillors wishing to do a point of order, I presume. So would you like to, Councillor Chowdhury? I think you're the new one on this, so please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I refer to the Constitution, item 16.31. And in the Constitution, obviously, when you're having a meeting in the council chamber, a motion is debated, and during the debate, it's not uncommon that an amendment is moved. So once the way that amendment is usually moved is that you then write the amendment and on paper and walk across the chamber and hand it in to the mayor.
I'm aware.
Obviously, we're not in that situation where we are meeting in person, but nonetheless, we need to come up with a mechanism where motions can be amended and debated, and we have the technology. It's not rocket science. If you want the amended motion in writing, as there is in the council chamber, there's a pause when the motions are handed to the mayor across the floor. The motion can be emailed to councillors and you would get in writing, and so would the rest of us. And what that would do is that we would be complying in with our constitution. We would not be denied our right to speak as per the constitution. I think it's an utter travesty if you're not allowing the motions or amendments to the motions to be put forward and debated even in this virtual environment. So I urge you to reconsider and give all members their democratic right to speak. Now, there's obviously, with any motions, there's no certainty that motions will be carried or not, but nonetheless, you know, one shouldn't be denied the opportunity to speak or debate a motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chowdhury. I will say, as regarding Councillor Florence Jukes, she did have the chance, I'm sure, to draft it. She sounded like, to me, as person looking on, she did sound like she'd looked at the MTFS, and she did. I'm sure she could have drafted an email beforehand, I would have thought. I know you're going to stand up, Councillor Florence Jukes. You know, I'm going to ask our monitoring officer for some clarity here. Monitoring officer, could you give us some clarity here, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think you make a good point. Clearly, all members have had an opportunity to read and digest the contents of all of the papers for this evening's meeting in advance. And it is not unreasonable to expect that somebody who has in mind proposing an amendment could draft that in advance and email a copy to you. So I think that you have raised an excellent point there.
Thank you, Mark. And also, I'm not going to take this point of order. It is just getting silly. We're going to go to the vote on the item of the item number 7. So please, can you go, Andrea, can you take the names, please?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to make you aware, Councillor Bilth has been listening. He's had technical problems, so he has been listening to the meeting. So if I upgrade him to a member of the public, to a member of the meeting, then he'll be able to vote on that item. So he's just on his telephone, so I will just allow him to talk. Into the meeting.
So if you can go to the vote then, please, Andrea.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Aykroyd.
Four.
Councillor Allen.
Four.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Four.
Councillor Barker.
Four.
Councillor Beach.
Four.
Councillor Brady.
Four.
Councillor Bilth, I think I need to. Councillor Bilth, I think you need to press *6 to unmute yourself on your keypad. I'm not sure if you can hear. Can you hear me, Councillor Bilth? Can you hear me, Councillor Bilth? I'll come back to you shortly. Councillor Chowdhury.
Against.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
For.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Against.
Councillor Fletcher.
Abstain.
Councillor Florence Jukes.
Against.
Councillor Gaskin.
For.
Councillor Goodfellow.
For.
Councillor Gould.
For. Councillor Grosvenor.
Against.
Councillor Hall, Greg Hall, sorry.
For.
Councillor Helen Hall.
Against.
Councillor Hudson.
For.
Councillor Hussein.
Against.
Councillor Jones.
Abstain.
Councillor Kiloran.
For.
Councillor Lamb.
For.
Councillor Legg.
Abstain.
Councillor McGarry.
For.
Councillor McKiernan.
Against.
Councillor Metcalf.
For.
Councillor Peters.
For.
Councillor Raybould.
For.
Councillor Sankey.
For.
Councillor Shrive.
Against.
Councillor Sylvester.
For.
Councillor Toon.
Abstain.
Councillor Walker.
Against.
Councillor Whittaker.
Abstain.
And Councillor Wildman.
That's for.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That is carried.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Shall I see if Councillor Bilth is able to hear us? Sorry.
Yes, please.
Councillor Bilth, are you able to hear us? No, it's. Councillor Bilth? Hello, Councillor Bilth.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Are you able to let us know how you will vote on this item on the MTFS?
Well, I must have missed a good chunk of that debate, so I'm not sure whether I should be voting or not on that item. It's good three quarters. I only heard the last two or three speakers, so I'll take advice on that.
Well, when you say advice, you could abstain if you haven't heard. It's entirely up to yourself, of course. That's the mayor speaking, by the way.
Okay, I'll abstain.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bill. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That vote is carried.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. So we're going to move on then to item number 8. Again, I will ask the leader to bring this to the council. Treasury Management Strategy Statement and Annual